Make the most of your me time with sensational hair products from Method. The new range of shampoos and conditioners will leave your hair looking shiny and feeling healthy. From Pure Peace, infused with peony, rose water, and quinoa protein, to Simply Nourish, crafted with coconut, rice milk, and shea butter, and Daily Zen with calming cucumber, seaweed, and green tea. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower with Method and reconnect with the best version of yourself.
Today, Drew Barrymore and Dylan Mulvaney totally jumped the shark. You are not going to want to miss this clip. Also, Joe Biden launches an executive order on more gun control. We will get into that and more, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I want to go ahead and start the show with what is definitely going to be the most ridiculous thing you're going to see today. So if you're a frequent watcher of this program, you know that here we frequently talk about how the trans movement is diminishing actual women, the value of women, the uniqueness of women, and the rapid pace at which it's getting worse. But at what point do we just start to blame women themselves, not just for staying quiet, but for actively cheering on the appropriation of their own gender? I get it, all right? If you're a female collegiate swimmer and a dude joins your competition, you don't want to look like a hater for complaining. I personally don't agree with the approach, and I think this all ends far quicker if everyone just says, no, we're not playing that game. You can race yourself, pack it up, go home. But I understand the sentiment. But what about the delusional white liberal women who aren't sitting idly by just quietly watching the real patriarchy take over? They're putting these pretend females on a pedestal. How much blame do they deserve in how far we've fallen? I would say quite a lot. Dylan Mulvaney, the mentally ill man who dresses up like a female and calls vaginas Barbie pouches, that's how much he thinks about you ladies. He went on the Drew Barrymore show to talk all things trans, and it just somehow kept getting worse. Also, in other news, apparently Drew Barrymore has a show. Watch.
Let me ask you about the negativity. How have you dealt with it? And what's an approach you take? What's your self-talk? What do you filter?
Yes.
How do you...
I still read the comments, but there is so much hatred directed at the trans community right now. It's everywhere.
No. Oh, no.
And I think the greatest weapon that I can contribute is trans joy and comedy and talking about hard,
is that different than regular joy?
Subjects and really intricate moments of a transition and try to let everybody in to see that, you know, I'm not a monster. I'm not somebody
that,
you know, is trying to do anything but be myself and be happy.
You're being the opposite of yourself.
Thank you, everybody, for that support.
I look at someone like you, and I can't imagine anybody disliking you.
Oh, please. Do you want to know, ironically, who dislikes me the most sometimes?
Who?
Myself.
Me too.
But feminine embrace.
I guess, you know, you've asked me now, like...
You've asked me, like, what I would do to combat the hate, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do?
Okay, that's a great question.
You've been doing it a little longer than I have.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was a kid, starting with E.T., it was the first time I was introduced to film reviews, which are basically social media.
Okay, well, that was really riveting, but we're going to have to cut it off there. I just want to say, she knelt down in front of him, and I thought this clip was going to go a completely different way than it did. Glad it didn't, but I'm just wondering, is this a thing now? Are we supposed to, like, kneel for men, bow down to our masters, show them we will always be subservient to them, even when they dress up and pretend to be us?
Yes.
You know, I joke about the 19th Amendment being a mistake, but, you know, I see these things sometimes, and I'm like, it's not really a joke. I would be very happy to sacrifice my own vote in order to get rid of all of the crazy liberal white women's votes. I'm just saying. It's a calculation I've done. All right. Get off the floor, Drew. Your goofy ass is embarrassing the rest of us. I want to welcome to the program two members of the great patriarchy that we are here to serve, both Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck program, and Blaze TV contributor John Doyle, host of Heck Off Commie. I mean, are you guys feeling really proud right now of the work that you guys have done? I mean, we worked for what, 50, 70 years on this feminist movement to try to elevate women so that they could say that, you know, they just wanted to go work in the workforce and be paid the same as men, because men and women are equal. I mean, they're not, but that's all they wanted, and now here we are. We're bowing down to our masters again.
I would just like to fist bump the only other man here. We nice. Win again, nice. Right? We just keep on piling up those wins. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
It was a long thing, you know, mm-hmm. but it's now, you know, coming to
established.
Fruition. Yeah. Wow, so much stuff to unpack mm-hmm. there. That's absolutely insane. I thought this dude was a troll. I didn't buy it at first because it was so ridiculous. Remember the whole day number two being a girl and blah blah blah. Oh, I love those. You remember that all that? Like, I there was no way that could be real. And even still, let's say if it was real, I thought that women en masse would be outraged by that. You know,
he literally held up tampons and was like, oh, I was carrying these around today, but I mean, I don't need to use them, but I was just carrying them around. It. I mean, because I don't have a Barbie pouch.
So
how degrading.
So he clearly has mental issues.
Yeah, you think?
Beyond the gender dysphoria, which right. is a mental issue.
Right.
He clearly has multiple other mental mm-hmm. issues. But the most disturbing thing that I saw in that is how everyone was just clapping mm-hmm. along in affirmation.
Like seals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, seriously, how do you, we've said this before, I think, on this show, but like any other mental, you know, schizophrenia,
disorder, yeah.
anything, you're not going to say, yes, you are Captain America. Mm-hmm. You really are. And you did stop Thanos.
Like, how about anorexia, right? A tiny, thin, rail-thin woman yeah. who has anorexia. You're not going to be like, you are fat. You're right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat.
It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous there. It's dangerous here. Mm-hmm.
It's probably not dangerous anymore, honestly. The way some of these women are looking now, that might even be more healthy to promote them. The body positivity
okay, fair.
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk a lot about how the culture has become less masculine, and it's sort of because we understand that it's bimodal, so as you become less masculine, you're going to become more feminine, and part of being more feminine as a society is this sort of, like, self-serving, like, you deserve, and mm-hmm. we're so proud of you, this, like, very fake performative virtue signaling. I saw something, it was very interesting, someone took, like, an average male self-help book and an average female curated self-help book, and they did, like, a control F, where you can search in a document for terms, and they searched in the male self-help book for the term, like, you have to, and it was, like, a million results, like, you have to do this, you have to cold shower, wake up at 4 a.m. They did it with the female one, that didn't come up, but what did come up is when they searched for you deserve. It was you deserve to feel like this, you deserve, and it really illustrates the difference between how I think men and women go about solving problems and sort of adjusting in their lives, and, like, if you as a man are worried about, like, oh, and sometimes I don't even like myself, like, get a grip. Like, that's not what men do, okay? That is how women tend to, I think, view themselves and view the world around. But you've got this person who's clearly delusional, so they're doing that, and then they're being indulged by all the liberal white women. And the reason that's happening is because of the other problem, which is as we've become less masculine, we've become less able to just call a spade mm-hmm. and just assert ourselves and have courage, because people are now very comfortable in just allowing this all to happen because we don't have the guts to say, okay, well, this is not true. And moreover, we've for so long sort of embraced this idea that, like, it's just a different preference. Like, you know, gay people, they're just like me, except they do gay stuff. It's like, I like rock music, they like jazz music. Well, it's not that simple, because it's an identity. You know, it'd be one thing if they were just walking around wearing, you know, Vineyard Vines cardigans or whatever, and just, you couldn't even tell. But for some reason, whether it's gay people or trans people, they cannot for the life of themselves stop, like, performing and doing this caricature of, you know, what they believe a woman should be like, or this sort of behavior that, like, gay men tend to emulate. And because
and I would say there are outliers to that.
Of course. Of course there are outliers.
I just want to make sure, because if you don't say that, people are like, I can't believe you said that about every single gay person.
Emotionally governed thinking, right?
I just wanted to clarify that for you, John.
But as a general, you know, tendency, we know that these things are true, and it's because it's not just a preference or something, it's an identity. And the problem is, if it's an identity, then that identity has interests. And so you can't ever just have, like these things in society, oh, they're just going to do their own thing. They're always going to want to assert their interests. And if you're not able to push back against that because you just believe that, like, oh, this is just something normal, just it's not. It's something that is orchestrated from the top down. It's a social contagion. And if you're not willing to push back against that and treat it as what it is, then you're never going to be able to win, and you're just going to keep descending down the slippery slope.
You mentioned performance, and this was clearly a performance. Like, so, like, you know,
and not a good one, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like Chevy Chase used to be the most hilarious comedian I would watch. Now he sucks at it, which is really weird. He just lost it. Hmm. Drew Barrymore has lost it. It's so obvious. She doesn't believe that. No, yeah. I mean, normal people don't do what they did, and like, normal people don't say normal things, like, you know, actual phrases and air quote them, and still think that they're being serious. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, when I was a kid and I used to read film reviews. Like, why did you air quote film reviews? I was like, my name is Drew Barrymore, and I'm sitting in a chair.
Well, she wasn't sitting in a chair. She was sitting on the floor for some reason.
The floor. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're clearly lying. You're just like.
I think my favorite part was when she turned to the audience and said, "Thank you for your support." Like, shut up. How were you ever an actress? Oh, you were a child actress. That's right. You didn't actually have to have talent. So you mentioned the gay marriage thing. And I want to actually, that was where I was going to go next, because yesterday on the program, we played a little clip from Joe Biden being on The Daily Show, where he said that he wants to make child sex operations legal through federal legislation, so that he said, similarly to how we did gay marriage, so that no states can, prevent doctors from chopping off children's genitals and breasts. That would be too mean. Instead, we want to chop more of them off. And so he said, I want to make it like same-sex marriage. Now, he talked about same-sex marriage, gay marriage, later on The Daily Show. And it was very interesting because he was asked when he first supported gay marriage. And he paints a very interesting picture here of how long ago it was that he was like, oh, gosh, I want gay people to get married. Watch.
Every auntie and uncle that I have is beyond disappointed that there hasn't been a wedding yet. But Cardi B is going to marry us, apparently officiate our wedding, which would be nice. But my question for you, Mr. President, is you codified support for same-sex marriage and interracial marriages like ours. I'm curious what your evolution was like on marriage equality and what the federal government might be able to do to protect LGBTQ Americans, especially trans kids who are dealing with all these regressive state laws that are popping up.
Their entire identity.
I can remember exactly where my epiphany was.
Okay. Tell us.
I hadn't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. And I was a senior in high school.
Oh,
and
so
my dad
18,
was dropping
31.
Me off. Mm-hmm. And I remember about to get out of the car, and I looked to my right, and two well-dressed men in suits kissed each other.
Oh.
I mean, they gave each other a kiss.
Definitely happened.
And then one went, looked like he was heading to the DuPont building, and one looked like he headed to the Hercules Corporation building. And I'll never forget, I turned and looked to my dad. He said, "Joey, it's simple. They love each other."
Mm.
It's simple. No, I'm not joking. Mm. It's simple. They love each
joking.
Other.
Not joking. That's the tell,
and
right?
It's never been. It's never been. It's just that simple.
Oh.
It doesn't matter whether it's same sex mm-hmm. or a heterosexual mm-hmm. couple. They should be able to be married.
Right.
What is the problem? So listen to your auntie and your uncle. Get married. Do it now. Don't wait.
Yeah, the problem is that that's just like a blatant lie. I want to play a clip of Joe Biden back in 2006. Does not appear to be high school age. Actually appears to be much, much older than high school age because, of course, he was. And I would like to play Joe Biden very clearly talking about it's simple. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Watch.
The president used his radio address yesterday and tomorrow in the Rose Garden to talk about a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
You know, think about this. The world's going to Hades in a handbasket. We are desperately concerned about the circumstance relating to avian flu. We don't have enough vaccines. We don't have enough police officers. And we're going to debate the next 3 weeks, I'm told. Gay marriage, a flag amendment, and God only knows what else. I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law the Defense of Marriage Act. Mm. We've all voted, not where I voted, and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Huh. Interesting.
You should run for office. I like the way that guy articulates himself. That's a good point.
I mean, this guy just blatantly lies, but the problem is that he so clearly has some sort of dementia issues going on. Does he think that he was a senior in high school and he concocted the story in his head because he's so far gone, or is he blatantly lying? I don't know, because the guy's so far gone, but also so corrupt and such a, I believe, a bad person that I don't even know which one it is.
Do all the people that support Joe Biden actually think he's an ally on these issues? Do they still believe that? Even in that interview, he was asked if he could describe his evolution, because he's a smart guy.
Right.
What's the interviewer's name? Can't remember.
I don't know. New Daily Show guy.
Whatever his name is. He is a smart guy. And he knew that this was not the status quo in the Democratic Party, except what? Last year of Obama, maybe? Like, mm-hmm. something like that? He knows that they didn't. That they did not believe this. He's describing, when Biden was talking about this story, he blew past the evolution thing and went straight to what, 1960? 1961? Yeah. And that's not an exaggeration. That's probably the time frame.
No, actually, I believe it was 1831.
It's 1831. in that time frame, there's no way in hell that scenario happened.
Right.
There's no way it happened. But let's just say it did. That means that he never had an evolution. He just always agreed with gay marriage. Right. And he's just been lying.
He just lied to go along with the flow.
In spite of them.
Yep.
In spite of them, his entire political career, which makes it worse.
Right. Because he wasn't brave enough to take a stance.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, so like, how are you still buying that he's your ally?
Yep.
They do, apparently.
Because they're dumb.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he's like the cheerleader of the coalition that is doing all this. I don't think anyone actually believes, like, Biden's doing anything. But there are still, like, kids, you know, who will go to poli-sci school or whatever, and they'll put, like, a Joe Brandon poster on their dorm room because they think it's so cool, and he's got the aviators and the ice cream, and it's like...
Are you serious?
He doesn't... Oh, yeah, no, this is a thing. Like, kids they're riding with Biden. But they do it, like, ironically. Not in the way that they thought, like, Obama was actually cool. They do it more as, like, Joe Biden is the face of, you know, the administration, and they're the ones who are doing all of this. But there's something, I think, with gay marriage. You saw this in the death penalty, too, in the 1970s. The ability to, like, change public perception on an issue practically overnight is very real. And the bad news with that is that people are, like, basically cattle, and you can, like, influence them if you have opinion curating institutions very easily, and we just don't have those. The good news is that if we do have those, we can, like, you know, get the ball going back down towards our end zone pretty quickly, I think, because California had a vote on this in 2008, like, as a state, California, mm-hmm. and they said, no, we don't want this. And then less than 10 years later, it's now the law of the land. They just discovered this right to anal sex in the Constitution, like James Madison, I guess, wrote by candlelight or something. And now this is like the law of the land, and we're all supposed to believe that this is just totally normal. And even our voters now, I think as a majority, believe that this is like, oh, it's marriage equality. Well, it's not equal. How can that be equal? How can you have the union of two men be equal to the union of a man and woman? Obviously, that's not true. But it's, you know, the acceptance of feminism. Well, if man and woman are equal, mm-hmm. then... Well, they're not interchangeable. Why can't they be interchangeable then? And then if that's true, well, then why can't you just switch teams? Like, if man and woman are equal, why can't I just be a woman? Well, you know, the anatomy's different. Okay, well, they have procedures for that. And, well, mine's real. Who really cares? Like, we have to have a conversation about the essence of, like, manhood and womanhood. And unless you're willing to do that and be like, well, it's not just that women have these parts, it's that they have these parts for these purposes, they behave differently, and men have these parts for these purposes, they behave differently, etc. If you're just going to pretend that we're all the same except we have different anatomy, then who's to stop us from just switching teams?
Yeah, good point. All right, let's. This has been a fun segment, guys. we're gonna take a quick break and be back with more. I want to thank first our sponsor, Birch Gold. So if you buy gold right now, you will get a free safe to store it in on qualifying purchases from Birch Gold Group now through March 31st. They're gonna ship a free safe directly to your door. So text the word WIDE, that's WHY, to 989898. They're going to send you a free info kit on gold, and you can claim your eligibility for your free safe. You guys know this. The Fed keeps raising rates because it's the only tool that they have to keep inflation under control. But oopsies, it's not really working, because it turns out you can't spend your way out of inflation. You've seen the impact on the stock market. You've seen the impact on your savings, and the string of recent bank failures, the uncertainty that this has created presents perhaps some new lessons to be learned. Hedge inflation by owning gold, whether physical gold and silver in your safe or through an IRA in precious metals, where you can hold real gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account. I highly recommend this. I know we had a recovering investment banker, Carol Roth, on yesterday, and she always recommends to diversify in gold and silver. Just make sure that you're not just letting your retirement savings waste away. You can text the word Y to 989898 for that free information kit and to claim eligibility for that free home safe by March 31st. So go do it. Hey, those of you who are watching this program on YouTube, we love you, okay? But we would also love it if you would go and subscribe to this channel. Make sure to like, gently tap that like button and leave us a comment, you know, for that algorithmic engagement. We appreciate you guys, you know, even if you're watching on YouTube and you don't have a Blaze subscription, which we appreciate the Blaze subscribers as well. All right, so I want to go ahead and move on to what's going on between the United States and Russia, because I would be remiss if I didn't speak about this with Jason, former military, here at the table. So the U.S. military did confirm earlier today a Russian fighter jet, they say, collided with one of our drones. This is an American Reaper drone over the Black Sea. This is international airspace. So it downed and destroyed the drone. And this is what they say. The United States said that this was very unsafe, an unprofessional intercept by two Russian, Su-27 or SU? Su-27 fighter jets. And they said that the Russian fighter jets, they were like, very much harassing the drone. They dumped fuel on it, and finally they clipped the propeller off of it, forcing it down over the Black Sea. And I found it interesting because when I was reading this, in the United States statement, it wasn't like, hey, this is you're provoking something here. They were very concerned about the dumping of the fuel. They called it not environmentally sound.
I saw that too.
So it's a good thing that even our military, in the event that Russia is like completely provoking us or our drones, they're like, oh God, but the fuel, what is that gonna do to the climate? Is this a big deal, Jason? Because this seems very, very intentional.
Yeah, oh, absolutely intentional. Provocations like this were very, very common in the Cold War. This is a little bit different from like actually causing harm to the equipment. But I mean, I'm sure they did it. If it would have been a manned jet, they wouldn't have come anywhere close to this. But a lot of things like this did happen in the Cold War. You just didn't hear a lot about it. In fact, the famous Top Gun scene where he goes inverted and flips the bird to the MiG pilot was based on a true story. Didn't happen exactly like that, but it was based on a true story. So they would do crazy crap like that all the time. And those were between actual pilots. This is a drone. So
right.
I saw a lot of people like tweeting, get ready for World War III, blah, blah, blah. It's nonsense. You're going to have a lot worse happen than a drone getting its propeller clipped and landing in the ocean. It does, bring up the stakes, though. You know what I mean? It one side gets pissed off. They feel like they have to escalate. Our government is not trying to calm things down. They're obviously not going to try to calm things down. So it's like, how far do they push? You know, it keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. My biggest issue right now is we're not even making an attempt.
Right.
Not at all. We're not making one single attempt to de-escalate.
Which is what has me so nervous. And I'm glad that you brought up our government is not doing anything to try to de-escalate, because I see this and look, I'm not, Putin's horrible. I feel like every time we talk about Russia and Ukraine, you have to like say, I think Putin is a bad guy. However, when you look at the way that the United States has basically been fighting this proxy war through Ukraine,
and that's what it is. It's a proxy
war. It is a proxy war. We're funding them. We're sending them weapons. We're training their military. I mean, you can't be surprised when Russia treats us as if we are involved in the war, because we are. So it's frustrating, hearing American officials be like, why would they do this? This was completely unprovoked. It's like, I mean, was it though?
Yeah, well, they have to paint Russia as like this totalitarian state that's headed by this evil bad guy who's crazy and irrational, and we have to stop him so that the good guys can win, because like American people can only conceptualize like conflict as like a Marvel movie.
The good guys, you mean the Nazis in Ukraine?
I don't know. I mean, the Putler, isn't that what they're calling him? There's like just Nazis everywhere. That's like, Hitler's really going to get his 1,000 years because no one will just shut up about him. Like, he's the only historical figure you hear anything about. But yeah, and it's interesting too, because the United States seems to be maneuvering for that by even being like honest with how their military is. And what I mean by that is they recently put out an advertisement that was the only advertisement I've seen for anything in the last 10 years that actually like depicts America and white men in a positive way. It was actually this like great advertisement. It has like all these white guys, you know, in World War II uniforms, and then in other military uniforms. I think even the Revolution was called back to, and they're like charging, and it's got this speech about, you know, glory and America and all this stuff. And I was like, this is awesome. I feel so inspired. And then I was like, wait a minute, it's because they want me to go die for democracy. I was like, wait, no, I don't want to do that. So it's like they're almost being honest, like, okay, we have to retire some of this woke stuff, mm-hmm. get the white people to come in so they can die in our wars, and then we'll go back to hating them.
I mean, young men, I would say, they rather than like trans and yeah. I did see you said this is the first advertisement that you've seen from the military at all, or just the first one that you thought was inspiring? Because I did see a lovely advertisement from the military about how comfortable a lesbian was there.
Yeah, it was the first advertisement I had seen. Well, actually, that's not true. The only other advertisement I've seen in like the last 10 years that doesn't depict white people as like bad was one for assisted suicide in Canada. I saw like, it's like, wait a minute, why are there all these white people in this commercial? I was like, it's for euthanasia. Yeah, that's why. And then the other one was the military. It was like, you know, white guys like being cool. And I was like, right on. I was like, oh, wait, it's because they want us to go to war.
My biggest issue right now, I think, with our involvement in Ukraine is, well, so I do think Putin, I personally think Putin is a bad guy.
Right.
I don't know if I'll go this far as to say evil. But he is a bad guy. The Russian government is bad.
I've been there before, corrupt.
Multiple times. It's corrupt. I guess it's a kleptocracy basically right now. Ruled by a small group of people that will never let go of power. You could make that argument that similar things happen in this country.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Which is why it's so frustrating to hear Americans totally demonize. I almost said Hitler, Putin, and not recognize that our country is very similar.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that morality geopolitics, right? Mm-hmm. Where they think that they have to spread morality, you know, and like, oh, they're immoral. Their system is immoral. Ours is so much more so. Right. So we need to spread it as far as possible. The thing with Russia is that they refuse to accept the fact that Russia had national interests, and that is why they went into Ukraine. I'm not saying it's great to go into Ukraine. It's definitely not. Right. People are dying. But they refuse to even acknowledge it. So it's almost like it's just the evil, right? Like, I won't go as far as say evil, but they're like, oh, it's because they're evil. Mm-hmm. That's it. No, they have national interests.
Right.
They said at the very beginning what their national interests were. NATO laughed at them. And so they invaded. Mm-hmm. That's the story. And so now for Ukraine, they are fighting for their own survival and for their country. We're not fighting for the survival of Ukrainians. We're fighting a proxy war.
Yep.
Multiple times now they're saying it out and open. We are going to defeat Russia in Ukraine. Wait, we?
Right.
Are we just helping Ukraine to survive? Or is our goal to defeat Russia in Ukraine? That I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
It's the weirdest thing, but I think that pushes more towards, I think that, you know, I think the West in general has said, we want the world to go in a certain direction, Great Reset mm-hmm. style. Mm-hmm. And we see two big roadblocks. We see China as a roadblock. We see Russia as a roadblock. Now, they also want to mold the world in their own way, right? So I don't think either side is great.
Right.
I don't at all. But it's kind of like a pick your own set of authoritarianism.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be in that war at all. I want to be on the outside saying, no.
Right.
I want to go back to our founding ideals, you know, our freedom. I'll defend that. But I don't want to have anything to do with what you want to mold the world into. Yeah. I do not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said.
And I'm not sending my child, who is just about to turn 18, to a war to fight in that. And I don't care if the battlefield is Ukraine or Taiwan or else. I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's take another quick break. We will be back with more. First, I want to thank our sponsor, My Patriot Supply. So we just talked about all of the danger that the world is in these days. Jason says World War III is not around the corner, but we don't know. Okay, because I mean, Jason doesn't know everything.
Well, the power grid's going green, so we could lose power and need it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things going wrong in this country right now, not even talking about across the world. So you're going to need emergency food. And the whole idea with emergency food supply is that you don't wait until the crisis happens to go pick it up because it's not going to be there. So you have to stock up now. You can go to mypatriotsupply.com, stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. You're going to get $200 worth of survival gear as a free bonus. So when the grid goes down, anytime you might have to fend for yourself, you will have it. And you're going to need it. To see everything you'll get, you can go to mypatriotsupply.com. Your $200 bonus gift comes free with each 3-month emergency food kit you order. So you're ordering it for each member of your family. Everyone is going to be prepared. This offer is not going to last forever. So make sure that you go there. It is mypatriotsupply.com. That is mypatriotsupply.com.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
Joe Biden has announced a sweeping executive order to increase the number of background checks on gun buyers and crack down on firearms dealers, he said. He is set to sign the order during a trip to Monterey Park, California. This is a place where there was a shooting that killed 11 and injured 9 others back in January. They say, the White House said, that this executive order will bring the United States as close to a universal background check as possible without having to go through Congress. Because that's what executive orders are about nowadays. Just, you know, trying to go as far as you can to abuse your power without having to involve Congress. They said that they will take steps to stop firearms dealers from selling guns if their licenses were revoked. It's also going to get the Federal Trade Commission to issue a report on how gun manufacturers market to children. They have also said that they are going to hold the gun industry accountable by providing the public and policymakers with more information regarding federally licensed firearm dealers who are violating the law. He, of course, called for an assault weapons ban, universal background checks on gun buyers, repealing gun manufacturers' immunity from liability, which is absolutely absurd. They want to target private party gun sales, I guess. I hear there's a lot of words here, right? Like there are a lot of phrases here. None of it really sounds like it's doing anything.
No, because they don't know what to do. Because they want to just get rid of the Second Amendment altogether. That's what they want to do. But they don't really know what to do. They just want to cause outrage, basically. So the thing about...
Or for their side to say, look, we did it. Joe Biden...
And there's that, too.
Right. Yeah. Joe Biden signed an executive order on gun violence.
Yeah, like, say, for instance, the one thing about cracking down on some of these gun sellers that are violating the law. Okay, in that sentence, you can already go after them, right?
Right.
They're violating the law. They should be arrested. There's nothing else to do there, but they're adding in a lot of this word salad, and a lot of this will be in the executive order. Some probably won't be in the executive order, and you have to like do a FOIA request to even try to take a look at it. Even that doesn't work sometimes, like what he did with his election executive order. I don't think we still haven't seen details on that.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so I would love to see what this actually means. But basically what this means is he's just weaponizing the federal government to go after gun owners. That's what it means. We've already seen what the FBI, DHS, all these other people have done to, like, pro-life people. This is coming. A lot of this is coming. And it should be scary to you if you are a gun owner and you know, respect things like the U.S. Constitution, because they clearly do not. These people don't give a crap about the U.S. Constitution. But this is a sign of what you can expect. A lot of bull crap, a lot of things that don't make any sense, a lot of things that you didn't do, like break the laws, which is what they're, you know, inferring here, but you're going to have to answer for it. And I hope they get the crap suit out of them for this.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything. I mean, if you had like a magic button that could delete 95 out of every 100 guns in this country, the crime rate wouldn't significantly decrease. I mean, the problem isn't the guns. The problem is who has the guns.
Right.
And look at like El Salvador, for example. They like got their act together
why
and arrested.
Why are you such a big fan of El Salvador now?
I'm not.
You
bring
El Salvador up every show.
I'm a fan of law and order. I'm not a fan of some obscure third world country, some, you know, whole country. That's not mine.
I don't think you're allowed to spell it out. I think it works the same way if you spell it out. Here you go, John.
Thank you. It's not, I don't know. It's just like, if we...
That's my swear jar.
What?
Well, there's a lot of money in that.
A random cameo by Chad Prather. Yeah, hey, wait, that's my money.
You just broke me off the plantation. I can now say what I want because the debt has been erased. I don't have to pay it. But look, I like law and order, and I know for a fact that if we just kept the people who are supposed to be in prison, and then you also arrested a few dozen thousand repeat offenders, the homicide rate in this country would probably decrease by like a third. And everyone knows that, but no one has the guts to just do it because they benefit from this chaos because then they can, oh, well, it's gun owners. Then they can go after the gun lobby. They can go after gun owners. And that's their political opposition. And they know that. That's why they want to persecute those people.
Yeah, it's a great point because if they were serious about preventing violence and preventing crimes, they would stop letting these people out on the streets.
Yeah,
releasing them.
Repeat offenders that they just let go.
Right.
Gun laws that they already have, which are probably already unconstitutional, don't get me started, but
right.
The gun laws that they actually already have, they don't even enforce them. Like multiple times, like that, right. that shooting here in Texas at that church. The guy should have been, something should have happened to him, you know, from the Air Force, but they didn't even check the records mm-hmm. for that. So, I mean, it's like, they're going to continue to do this. They're going to continue to make these bullcrap laws, these bullcrap executive orders, little by little chipping away, little bitty tidbits, little by little, until eventually you're not even really going to have a Second Amendment. It'll be there in words, but there'll be all these other clauses underneath it that basically makes it a dead letter.
Yeah, I mean, but the one that always gets me, though, is repealing gun manufacturers' immunity from liability. It's like,
yeah.
But the whole point of the gun is to, like, be efficient at killing. I don't want to buy the gun that's not good at killing, right?
No.
Like, so it blows my mind. Like, what? So what are you saying? You're responsible as a gun manufacturer. You're responsible if someone, let's say, if someone buys a weapon off the streets illegally from someone and then goes and commits a crime. Like, what the gun manufacturer is responsible there? It's obviously a backdoor way to, you know, as Jason said, chipping away at your Second Amendment rights.
I think you mentioned just a few minutes ago the like second party gun sales, banning mm-hmm. those. And we've gone back and forth with them on this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you really lay it down, like what exactly do you mean here? They don't really know what they mean,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds good. But you're trying to say like, I can't gift a gun to my son?
Right.
What about right. when I die and I had a lot of guns, what if I want to give those over to my children?
Right.
Are you saying now that that would be illegal? They would be felons for accepting them? For like, they don't have any answers to these things at all. And most of the times when they're using for examples of second-party gun sales, it's things like the stupid gun show loophole, which
right.
does not exist.
Right.
Like,
right.
stupid stuff like that. I'm
yeah.
just so sick and tired of it.
I know. Because they use this terminology because they know that the average American doesn't actually understand what they mean, which is why they keep calling for universal background checks. I've had so many people argue with me about that. I'm like, when you go to the gun store, you're already getting the check. What are you talking about? They don't even realize it. They're like, well, it's not a federal system. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They don't even realize it.
My favorite is it's easier to get a gun than vote in some of these states.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's absurd. I mean, I did a video on my YouTube channel. Well, if you guys are watching on YouTube, the channel you're watching on, that I went to the gun store and I showed, well, first of all, I showed what an AR-15 actually is. I know it's big and black and scary, but like you pull the trigger and it's just one shot per pull. It's not a machine gun. And we went through the process of trying to purchase it. And the fact that like you don't just take it and go home with, I mean, maybe if you have your concealed carry license and you've already gone through the system, it's a little bit quicker for you, but that's because you've already gone through the vetting process. The vetting process has to happen. It's just so frustrating to hear all of these people run their mouths and they clearly have done absolutely no research into what already is in place. All right, I'll stop blabbing. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's so obnoxious. by the way, we're going to talk about Hunter Biden here. Speaking of Hunter Biden, going back to this previous segment, we were talking about all of these laws and checks that actually exist. You know, someone who violated a law about those background checks is Hunter Biden, who lied on his form. That, you know, that federal check that I was talking about, he lied on his form. I don't seem to recall seeing any repercussions for Hunter Biden in violating gun law. So it's interesting to hear his father continue to pretend like he cares. But in other Hunter Biden news, the GOP lead House Oversight Committee has revealed a Chinese energy company sent a $3 million wire payment to, of course, a company owned by an associate of the Bidens. Oversight Chairman James Comer said in a statement that his panel will use newly obtained bank documents to follow the money trail and determine if Joe Biden was compromised. They had been stonewalling for a while over at the Treasury Department, but Janet Yellen has finally turned over that requested material and apparently only did so after Comer threatened to hold a hearing on the matter and conduct a transcribed interview. So the wire payment was made only months after Biden had completed his vice presidency term, and it was made to John Rob Walker's company. He formed a joint venture with these executives over in China, and now that company is a now bankrupt Chinese energy conglomerate. You know, it's just interesting because we've got Hunter now, who has received all this money. You've got his associate who's received all this money. You've also got Jim Biden, who has also received a ton of money through all of these lucrative deals. None of them seem to have any sort of skill or expertise in any of these that they are just receiving millions. I guess it pays to be related to Joe Biden.
A little bit. The Chinese have this, is kind of going back to how, you know, we'll criticize other people, but we fail to look at the problems in our own system. You know, of course, China's a bad place. They do bad things. But one of the criticisms I saw was how they have their Chinese princes. And so it's like the members of the Politburo, their kids, all become billionaires, you know, surprise, surprise, because of who their parents are. Mm-hmm. We'll criticize them on this end, but we won't even look at what the Biden family does. And really, a ton of the politicians do it. It's just, I'm sure, you know, the majority of Washington, D.C. is pissed off at the Bidens for being so overt with it. I mean, they just don't care, you know, and they know that their base is not going to care for some weird reason because they hate crony capitalism. And this is, I mean, they're the poster children for crony capitalism. There's no way in heck that he is going to get these jobs, make this amount of money if he's not Joe Biden's son. Mm-hmm. And it's what's crazy is like these wire transfers are being flagged by banks, and the banks are like, okay, this is either something shady, money laundering, or just something bad is going on. It happened here. There was another one that went through a Latvian bank that originated from Burisma, Ukraine, that went straight to Hunter Biden. These are all over the place. The records are there. Do I think anything's going to come from this?
No.
Not a chance in hell.
No.
No way. No. They are too big to fail, the Biden family is, mm-hmm. just like the Clintons are.
The Clintons,
they're too big to fail either. They can do whatever they want. They are the princes of the country, and that's just how it is. I guess just the most sickening thing, I know they're corrupt. I know it. It's sickening. But the even more sickening thing is that people will still vote for them and use them as their poster children, as the party that cares, the ones that care about the little guys. Meanwhile, don't look at what they're doing behind the curtain and making all this money off of your sympathy.
Yeah, I mean, his son is a literal crackhead who, like, films himself doing all sorts of things that I never wish to have seen. I wish I could unsee. And like, nobody cares, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy. He certainly is living an interesting life. And, you know, if even like 1% of that were going on in any, like, you know, Trump family or something, you would see that plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they accused Donald Trump Jr. of being on coke. No evidence, but they accused it. Here, we have mountains of evidence that this guy is involved in really disgusting stuff. And everyone's like, yeah, but I mean, you can't blame the dad for the family. That's not, we can't bring kids into it. That's not fair. Like, what the hell were you guys doing for 4 years?
Do you think that Hunter Biden thinks he's a victim? Like, he's going around the world just pissing through his dad's money. Yeah. He's got, like, you know, prostitutes and guns and drugs. And he's just like a total bohemian. And then the American media is like, oh, but he's like a victim. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm like, I'm having such a bad time right now. This is so bad.
So bad. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. That's a good point. He's selling art for like former press secretary Jen Psaki, poor man's peppermint patty, is now, of course, over at MSNBC. And she said something, pretty big revelation here. She said Joe Biden, not a morning person. He actually is a night owl, and he's pretty lazy, I guess. Watch.
Now, it's important to note, President Biden does nothing at 9 a.m. Oh. He is a night owl.
Okay.
So the fact that he is doing this at 9 a.m. anyway speaks to how vital the White House recognizes it is for him to have his voice out there conveying that to the American public.
That is so great that we have, just the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, who she says does nothing at 9 a.m. That's good. That's what you want.
Personally, I don't want him doing nothing at any time of the
day. You just want him doing nothing always.
Yeah, just eat your pudding and stay away from the Resolute desk. How about that? I'm all on board with that. But the funny thing is, night owl must mean like 8 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all the other reporting before this was that he goes to bed extremely early, like around 8 or 9.
Oh, yeah, he's a night owl. They're like trying to turn him into Trump.
See, yeah, I like that. I don't like Trump. Trump is up at like 4 a.m. working. That doesn't inspire me.
Tweeting.
Really?
But like Biden, he sleeps through like 10 a.m. and he's still the president. Like that inspires me. I'm like, I could do that. Like that.
Like, he doesn't do anything at 9 a.m. Like, I've already gone through half my day by then. What is he doing?
I love that schedule.
Okay, but do you have that schedule?
I don't, but we should. Blaze TV, where's that boss?
If the president can do it, so can I. Thanks, guys.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.